Just another touch, Lord, from you. To hell in hard trials I go through. Daughter, you have set a ray of light. When I get a touch, Lord, from you. Sing it again. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. To hell in hard trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, you have sent a ray of light. When I get a touch, Lord, from you. Let's sing it one more time again. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. To help in hard trials I go through. What dark may be the night, you have sent a ray of light. When I get a touch, Lord, from you. Amen. And we shall sing yet another chorus again. In the rock I will hide, in the shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in the rock I will lie. In the rock, in the rock I will lie. In the shadow, in the shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in the rock I will hide. In that rock, in that rock I will hide. In the shadow, in the shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in the rock I will hide. Amen. There's another very interesting chorus. Seeing it's a Wednesday, we might as well just learn this chorus. Maybe we'll be able to sing it some other day. It's a very short chorus. We'll teach one another. It sings, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and sweet is the taste. Whatever temptations and trials that I face, I keep coming back to the well. So I would sing like, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and sweet is the taste. Whatever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Well, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and sweet is the taste. Whatever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. So let's engage again into that song together. And let's not worry about what's happening there. They'll fix that. They'll finish that. Let us sing and just concentrate on our singing. So as I sing, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and sweet is the taste. Whatever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and sweet is the taste. Whatever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Amen. We thank God for that. And we shall sing another chorus again. Maybe this time we can sing even, if it's okay, yeah? Okay, we'll sing. We have come into this house. In His name to worship Him. We have come into His house. Gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house. Gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ the Lord. Let's sing that chorus once again, that verse again. Oh, we have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. Let's sing it from our hearts. Oh, we have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. Just forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself. Oh, just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. So worship Christ the Lord. Now let us lift up holy hands. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. Okay, that's fine. Let's sing something like a chorus to really try and shake ourselves and praise the Lord. It's very important that we praise Jesus Christ, really, wholeheartedly, with joy. I understand we've been at work, very busy, tired, and it does feel like that at the end of the day after being busy. But let us try and really give our hearts to Him and worship Him wholeheartedly. Now let's sing about, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Let's sing it again now. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? We sing it again now, isn't it? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Amen. Let's read, let's sing again, Victory in Jesus. I hear an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I hear about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sin, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, he knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, he knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion
He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, above the angels singing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me, here I knew Him, and all my life is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. We shall speak. We thank God for the grace, singing very well, saints, with no instrument. We thank God for that. Let's sing Redeemed.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Hallelujah, redeemed. Hallelujah, redeemed. Hallelujah, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continue. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah, redeemed. Hallelujah, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. Yes, child, and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be sigh. His love is the... Yes, hallelujah, redeemed. Hallelujah, redeemed. Hallelujah, redeemed by... Of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever. Oh, I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight. God is my footsteps and giveth me songs. Oh, hallelujah, redeemed. Hallelujah, redeemed. Hallelujah, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed, redeemed. child and forever I am. Amen. Let us sing one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that filled it Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my whole glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Oh, yes, and I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, yes, though these people may not learned nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, His power is yet the same. So I'm so glad that I can see one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Oh, yes, one of them. Hallelujah, I'm so glad that I can say one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and powerful service came. Now what He did for them, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can see one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, I'm so glad that I can see one of them. Oh, now come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and keep that soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can see one of them. Oh, hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, I'm so glad I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, give that the previous verse and say, I'm one of them. Oh, yes, come, my brother, this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing and will your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. And I'm so glad that I can see one of them. Oh, hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Yes, Lord, I can that I can say I'm one of them. Thank you, saints.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Find the number of believers in this country comes to maybe overestimating 500. So already that's 1 in 10,000, brother, if you do your maths. But if you look around you in this place here, there's usually about 100 or so people. Tonight is just a handful. So out of the 100 in here, you're 1 in 100. Then out of the 5 million, you're 1 in 10,000. Do your maths and you find indeed that you are 1 in a million. So I'm glad for that tonight. May God bless you. It's good to see Brother Mike and family. Welcome back, Brother Jose. Good to see you. I was thinking of Brother Jose the other week when he went to down there to Congo. A lot of people had tried many things, you know, to get the president there to resign, you know. He couldn't. But it took Brother Jose less than 1 week. He just got in there and the man said, I'm not contesting again. Of course, I just mean to make you laugh a little bit, but may God bless you. I would like to talk a little bit on a topic, just to follow on from what the pastor was preaching last week, Sunday. If we could turn to the Bible in the book of Psalms, chapter 144. The book of Psalms, chapter 144. I tend to like to read a lot of places in the scriptures, but I'm trying to learn to read a few places. I like quoting scriptures. So Psalm 144, if you would like to read with me. David speaking. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I'll read that again. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. So he is thanking the Lord and blessing his name, because God had taught David to war and his fingers to fight. You think that a man would thank the Lord for peace? Thank you, Lord, for peace. But here is David saying, blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. If we turn again to the book of John, 1 John. We'll just read something there quickly and move on to come back to the book of 1 Peter. So 1 John chapter 3. Verse 20 reads, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. If our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And then 1 Peter chapter 5. Just a few pages behind that, 1 Peter 5. I would like to read verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I believe this is the scripture, one of the scriptures that the pastor read on Sunday. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, We are most thankful, Lord, tonight that you have granted us grace to be in your house. Father, we thank you for Brother Jose bringing him back safely, Lord. We thank you for Brother Mike and Sister Gloria and the children for bringing them back safely. May you continue to watch over those, Lord, that are still away. And Father, may you bring them safely also. We pray tonight for those that are not here, our Brother Maxwell, unwell tonight, Lord. We pray for him that you will restore strength unto his legs. Watch over him, O God, praying for our pastor at work tonight, Lord. We pray that you be with him as well, Father. And I pray that you also be with your children that are gathered here, Lord. Watch over each and every one of them and bless them tonight, Father. I pray that you help me also, that you grant me grace, Lord, that I may be a profitable servant unto you. Grant us grace, Lord. May you watch over everything now as we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. Yeah, I do believe that we are living in a time where we are facing a great battle, where the church is under great attack. And tonight is almost like an example of that, because just to look and see where are the saints tonight. Many of them are caught up with this and that. But if I look beyond that, I believe that it's an attack of the devil on the church that is really doing something either to keep us busy, to sidetrack us or something like that. Because it's a real warfare that I believe that we are. So you'll find that sometimes things can come your way, and if you don't look beyond what it is, you can easily be sidetracked. So I want to look just a little bit at some of these things, just maybe to run a little bit further down the road on the topic that the pastor was preaching on last week, just to keep on it, because I believe that the devil is under attack. The pastor went on the offensive last week, and while he's on the run, we might as well give him a little bit of a kicking again during the week and keep at it like that until we learn how to fight, because there are times where we have to fight. We'll see that as we go along. But we are facing a fierce battle with the enemy. The enemy, our devil, as we read in the Bible in the verse there, that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible is actually likening the devil to a roaring lion. And I have seen lions. I've seen them here in Dublin at the zoo, but I've also seen them in Africa. The real wild roaring lion. It's not an easy thing when you are standing before a lion and it's roaring. The prophet says when a lion roars in the bush, everything, even beetles, go quiet. So it's not an easy thing when a lion roars. And the Bible is saying the devil is like a roaring lion, looking whom he may devour. So when a lion is on the prowl, looking whom it may devour, it's not going for a joke or something like that. It's actually looking to see who it may devour, to eat and destroy a life. So the devil is being likened to that. That is like a roaring lion, and he's been like that ever since he was kicked out of heaven when iniquity was found in him. And he wanted to be worshipped as God himself. And what did he do? He went on a war path since that day, and it hasn't stopped until today. The devil has been on a war path. He fought against Michael, the great angel, and he was kicked out of heaven. Then he came here, and what did he do? He didn't come here to joke around. Look at the condition of the world today. That's not how it was from the beginning, because the enemy is on the loose and he's been fighting ever since. We can trace him back all the way from the book of Genesis, how he fought against Adam and Eve, you know? And they were supposed to live forever, but their lives were shortened because they were tricked by the devil. It was a warfare against them. Eve did not realize that this is a warfare going on here. And she fell into it. And from that moment on, the whole humankind was doomed. And he didn't stop there. He went and fought Abel. Abel did not live long. He actually died. That's how terrible the war that we are in is. It's not something that we can afford to sit back and relax and watch it going on. It's not a movie. It's not virtual. It's a real warfare that is going on. A warfare that can cost people their lives. This is what is happening. He fought even Abraham and all those saints from the Old Testament. Even Joseph, he fought Joseph. But if you look at how the devil fought against Joseph, you'll be surprised because he changed his tactics. No more was he himself in warfare like he did against Michael, the great angel. No, he used other means just like he did in the Garden of Eden. It was a serpent that came before Eve. Yeah? It wasn't the devil himself, but he somehow used his influence on the serpent and used that to wage warfare against Eve. The same thing he did with Joseph. It wasn't the devil himself appeared and said, let us kill this young man. But it was through his brothers. He said this, he said that, he probably made his mistakes, but in the end, they said, let us kill this boy. The father favors him. Now he says he's going to be over us. Let us kill him. Let us sell him. And he was sold. And all that, Joseph looked beyond and he saw it wasn't those brothers. It was the hand of the enemy. He meant it for bad, but God turned it around for good. So that's a real, actual warfare that is going on right now as we are seated here. It wasn't something that Joseph enjoyed to be cast in a pit for 3 days. He didn't enjoy being a slave in Egypt. And even though he went to Potiphar's house and thought maybe things are getting a little bit better, and there comes Mrs. Potiphar, it wasn't just an affair happening in the house where this woman wants to do this with this boy. It was actually an attack of the devil. He was actually looking to get Joseph into prison. That's how close this battle is. But if you look with human eyes, you can just think it's brother so-and-so. It's this boss at work. It's this person at immigration or things like that. But it is actually the devil executing a real plan that he has for you. Just as much as he did against Job when he came before the Lord. And God was boasting about his servant Job. Have you considered him? And he said, well, how can I? You have put a hedge around him. But if Job had looked with his eyes, his human eyes, there would be no hedge around him. Yet God had put a hedge around Job. And the Lord said, I'll take it off, go and try him. People might have think, maybe Job would have think I got an infection, he's going to get away on things. But no. There was an actual warfare going on against Job in his day, just as much as it is going on against you. But the problem is that sometimes we don't see as if that's what is actually happening. Because when we read in the Bible, we read in the history books how the devil took the people that were believing the things that you are believing now, and they were put in lion cages and eaten by lions. They were put on the stack and burnt by fire. Real things that happened. And then we compare it with ourselves. We sometimes can take it easy and say, well, that was then. It doesn't happen like that now. It is actually still the same warfare that is happening that happened then. He still has the same objective against the people of God as he had when he was fighting Joseph, when he was fighting Abel. The devil still has the same objective against you tonight. But when we look with our eyes, it might look like, well, it's just me struggling or it's the circumstances. No, we've got to move away from walking by sight. The Bible says we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. We've got to look beyond to see what is beyond what is happening here. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Why are they not carnal? Why are the weapons of our warfare? Because we have a real warfare. Why are they not carnal? Because our warfare is not carnal. I don't know who said it, but he said, if the Lord was to open our eyes to see what is happening in the spiritual realm, we would get afraid. We would get afraid to see how it was that you came to be in this church today. Because there's many that desired to be here tonight, this very night. But they couldn't. Why? Because the devil has been on the attack against them. Brother Maxwell is consistent coming to church. But only on Wednesday he woke up and his legs are so weak and painful. What is that? Do you consider it to be just, well, it's just maybe he used his legs too much yesterday? I look beyond that. And I think it is the devil who is really under attack, you know? And even me to come here tonight, you know, I had to go to work and I was printing my notes at work. I printed them lunchtime, you know? And then I sat in the car, I started to make more notes on top of the notes. Then I typed them up and I printed a second set. Came to church and I was sitting in there, two sets. And then I started to see, okay, this is the current one. I don't know how I did it. In the end, I just went, put in the bin, come back. Oh, I have the old set of notes. You know, how could that have happened, you know? How could it be that somebody has a desire, a simple thing, just to come to church and they can't? It's the devil. He's on the loose. He wants to stop you. He wants to stop me. It's a real, real fierce battle for your soul. But many times, because sometimes we read how it was really physical in the old days, now these days it's this way. He's just changed the platform, the devil has. But then we can get easily spiritual amnesia. Do you remember when Elisha was with his servant? And they were surrounded by an army. A whole army surrounded the city. And the servant went and looked and said, Master, what shall we do? What shall we do? We are surrounded by the city. But the prophet was like, don't be afraid. There is more with us than they are. Just like tonight, where there is more in this room here than they are out there. You know? And he prayed and said, God, open his eyes. And the young man, his eyes were opened, and what did he see? Chariots of fire everywhere. So there was more with them. And then he saw that actually there is more with us. But because maybe we don't have access to that, and we must believe by faith, sometimes the devil can use that as a tool against you to sidetrack you, and you end up with a bad dose of spiritual amnesia. And that's one of the greatest things that the devil has done against the believers today. If he can get you to think that he is really not your enemy, but your friend, you are doomed. You are finished. And the devil has been managing to do that in the lives of many people. That's why people can compromise with sin. That's why people can afford to have one leg in the world, one in church, because they don't really think that the devil is their enemy. There was one boy like that in the Bible, Samson. He didn't really think that this girl here has got an agenda against me. If he had looked beyond, Samson would have seen exactly what Delilah was. But Samson was in a state which I could maybe describe as a terrible state. A state where he was wretched, he was blind, he was naked, he was poor, and he didn't even know it. That's exactly the description of Laodicea, the age that we live in. People say we have rich and have need of nothing. Yet they are so poor and they don't even know it. That's the state when the devil has managed to convince you that he is your friend and he means no harm. And he comes as an angel of light. Well, there's not really much harm in doing this and that and that, because other people are doing it and seemingly are getting away with it. But you are not really realizing that we are in a warfare, a real, real warfare. And it will be good for you to know that we are in such a warfare. In these days that we live in, a simple thing just to even raise a family has become even a ground for war with the devil. Just to raise a man wanting to raise his family in the fear of the Lord, the neighbors look and they say, look at how terrible a father he is. They don't even have a TV for those poor children in the house. Look at his wife, how he suppresses her and things like that and so forth. And you try to discipline those children and see what happens to you. And somebody knows about it, nearly could be taken away by social services. I've had cases like that when we went to England. where children were taken simply because a father tried to discipline. So how are you going to fulfill the word of the Lord? That train up a child in the way he should go. Spare not the rod. Not that you love to beat up your children. No father loves to do that. It's not an easy thing to beat your own child. It's hard. It breaks your heart nearly. But you know that the foolishness in a child can only be taken away by that at some stage. How are you going to fulfill such a scripture when the neighbors would watch the teachers are interrogating the children? Is that just the system? I think it's the devil using the systems to fight a war against you. Because the people that don't believe don't care about this. If they can get away from disciplining their children and put it in somebody else's hands, they would gladly do that. But we are in such a fierce warfare, but many times we don't realize what we are facing against. Even just to live a Christian life as a believer, just to live a Christian life, it's becoming such a thing that the devil is managing to infiltrate into your sphere to try and catch you somewhere or something like that. Because there are things that we need in this life. Sometimes you can't do without a phone these days. But what does he bring with the phone? It becomes an avenue through which he can pour in a lot of things there to try and put a blot on you and present this temptation and that. We actually need an active filter that is active every single day. We can't afford anymore to say, you can relax with this and that. No, you need to be filtering with a thinking man's filter, as the prophet says. Everything that comes into your sphere through technology and education and print media and the jokes that they say at work, when you are on the bus, the advertisements that they put, everything is just designed to try and lure you somewhere. Because the devil is fighting for your attention just as much as God wants your attention. Remember his main objective, the thing that got him kicked out of heaven. He wanted to be worshipped. That's what he wanted. He wanted to sit on that throne and be worshipped like God. But now God loves your fellowship. He loves your praises. He loves to spend time with you. But there's so many things now in the world that fight for your attention. And many times we just think, I have to do this. You know, can you imagine how much time we spend maybe replying to messages on WhatsApp? Half of them good, but the other half maybe not necessary. That phone is actually fighting for your time, some of the time that you must be giving to God. And it's taking it away because you have to. You feel like you have to update your status on social media. You feel like you have to participate in some work event, and you feel like you're under pressure to do those things. And they are competing for your attention. And God says, Jesus says in Matthew 6, you can't serve God and mammon. You've got to choose one. You can't serve God and the world. And if you choose to serve mammon, you can't have God. That's just how simple it is. Because you can't serve two and have both. If you choose to serve God, if you choose to seek the kingdom of heaven, then all these other things will be added unto you. So when you choose God, you can't lose. That's just how simple it is. But if you choose the other, the pressure of riches, wanting to get a social status in life, to say in the community he is doctor so and so, nothing wrong with being a doctor. But if it is your primary motive, if it is your drive that I want to get rich, then you can't serve God and mammon. But if it is my primary motive that I want to seek the kingdom of heaven, if it's my primary motive that I want to please God, all these other things will be added unto me, the Bible says. And you can't lose when you choose God like that. But we've got to apply a thinking man's filter and guard our heart. Because the things that infiltrate into your sphere, an area that you must keep sanctified, an area where the devil should never even have access, now it sleeps right next to you on your bed. Nobody ever leaves their phone in the bag when they go to sleep. You need to have some real strong character to manage a phone. What more a child when a child gets a phone? I'm privileged to work with children in Sunday school, and I can see it. That a child doing very well as they are growing up, then all of a sudden, phew, and you go to find out what has caused this child to go down like that. Now they have a mobile phone now. A terrible thing. It has broken marriages. So how do you expect a child who's 10 years old to handle such a thing that has broken marriages of people that have been married for 20 years nearly? And you give it to a child, an avenue for the devil to bypass all the security you have put in your house, and the child is sleeping in bed and you don't even know it, and they are busy getting influenced by some other things. That's how much we need to be sober now. We need to be vigilant because the enemy is fighting a real war. He's fighting a real war against us, and we must fight that war against him as well. We cannot anymore afford to sit back. We've got to be on the offensive, like the pastor was saying last Sunday. You never win a war if you are on the defensive all the time. There are times where you have to get on the offensive to fight against the devil. And by God's grace tonight, we want to speak on one of his arsenals that he has against the believer. So going back to our Psalm 144 verse, where David is speaking, saying, just open it again here. David, writing a psalm, he said, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." As I was saying, you would think that maybe David would thank the Lord for peace. But here he is thanking the Lord because God had taught his hands to war. Yeah? And nobody really likes war. Everybody, every fair-minded person loves peace. Even God loves peace. He says in Matthew 5 there, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Because God himself loves peace. Every person sitting here loves peace. Peace, you can see it if something happens to you. The first thing, if something comes to disturb your peace, the first thing you want to fight to get back to a state of peace again. Yeah? But David, the Bible describes him as a friend of God. David realized from a very young age that sometimes it is necessary to go to war. Very necessary. Yeah? It had to be a realization. You can have knowledge of something. That yes, I am the bride of Christ. But the prophet says, like we all know we are the bride of Christ here. But the prophet says, the moment the bride realizes that, who she is. So there's something about knowing which is different from realizing something. And David realized this when he was very young. He learned this principle that sometimes you have to go to war. He was a shepherd boy, David. And he was heading the sheep in the valley of Engedi or something like that. And there was peace in the valley. Sheep browsing there, making a little bit of a run, what. And he was at peace. Everything was all right. And what happened? A bear came in the midst and took one of them. And all of a sudden, the peace that was there was no longer there. So what David had to go to war with that bear. He couldn't sit and negotiate and say, "Please, you put the sheep back." No. He had to go to war with it even when a lion came. David realized that I must go to war with this in order to achieve the peace that I had before this lion came. That's how he realized it. He learned it. The word realize comes from real. It's beyond just knowing something. It's almost akin to revelation. When something is revealed to you, it does something to you. You know? So David realized from early on that I have to go to war if I must achieve peace. And he went and he fought the bear. And he went and he fought the lion. And when he looks at himself and see a little man like me killing a bear, if you see how big a bear is, or a lion, just the paw of a lion, how big those things are. And he fought and killed them. No wonder David said, "Blessed be the Lord who taught my hands to war." Because he realized I need to war sometimes. And if you absolutely need to go to war sometimes, you might as well be taught by God himself how to war against the enemy. Because if he doesn't teach you, who else will teach you who knows how to war against the one enemy that we all have? So David had that realization, and he went to war with the lion and the bear. And when he grew up one day, his father sends him to see his brothers in the army. And he found a situation there where an enemy was threatening the peace of Israel. What if God had not taught David to war? What if he had let that lion eat those sheep? What would have happened to the sheep? You see how he had to war against the lion. He had to war against Goliath. Because if he had not gone and fight Goliath, what would have happened? They would have become slaves. That was what the deal was. But he went and warred against him and won, and he thanked God to say, "Thank you, Lord, that you have taught me to war." That's why I am also saying, "Teach my hands, Lord. Teach me also to war." Because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He's not going to sit back and, "Well, it's Wilmore, I'll make an exception." No. He's out there on the prowl looking to devour you and me. And if he's like that, I'm going also to ask the Lord and say, "God, teach me to war against the enemy, not against my brother." Because Joseph never went and fought against his brothers. He recognized who it was that was behind this whole thing. And he went to war with that one. He never went to war against his brothers. So I am not asking God to teach me to war against my brothers, but to teach me to war against my adversary, the enemy. That's what we want. And I was saying that we have a war on our hands ourselves, that we have to contend for the faith, contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because if you look what it was then, when Jesus just left off the scene and the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost, and the condition of the saints in those days, it isn't the same like the condition that we have now. In fact, that verse was written, the prophet says, 33 years after Pentecost or something. Quickly from that condition of Pentecost, just 33 years down the line, something had happened among the believers that it was necessary for the verse to be written that contend for the faith. Because something had come to try and attack the faith that was once delivered. The saints, some had moved away from that place where they were, where everything was common. There was one accord. There was such love and unity. People had moved away from that because they were under attack by the devil. And it was a real attack. Less than 33 years, and verses are being written, contend for the faith. What about now, more than 2,000 years later? Let us contend for the faith, because we have a war on our hands, and we cannot afford to sit back and just watch while we are under attack. And the Bible calls us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Because it says when you are ignorant of his devices, he takes advantage of you. The Bible says many people perish because of lack of knowledge. Just to know that you are in a war tonight with the devil, it makes you sober a little bit and vigilant that I'm in a war. I'm in a state of war I can't afford. I wouldn't say to somebody, just go and try to relax and see what the devil does to you. Because we have already seen it happen. Somebody slackens a little bit in one area of their life, the devil comes riding in straight there, and the state of that person is worse in the end than he was at the beginning. So we cannot even afford to say, "Can I see if this is true?" If you just relax a little bit, the devil will come in and you'll be surprised what a Christian can do when they fall from the position that is God given to them. They will go and do worse things than the world can ever do, because the devil has got a chance, and he will give you such a blow that it takes I don't know how much grace for you to recover from that. And you might not find such grace. So it's not something that you can go home and try it or something. No, the devil is real. The warfare that we are in is real. It's only because he has changed now his format of war. He has changed the terrain, and he's fighting in the different sphere, and he appears, the Bible says, as an angel of light. But he is the same devil who is looking to damn you and to take you with him to hell. And we cannot be friends with him tonight. But we thank God that he watches over us. The Bible says that he who watches over you does not slumber. Just like Elisha and his servant, when they were surrounded by the army, the Lord was watching over them. Just like those three Hebrew children, when they were put in a fierce furnace of fire, God was watching over them. Yeah? So if, when we learn to look by faith, we will also realize that this is very true, as much as it is true that the devil is on the attack against you and me. It is very true that the angels of the Lord encompass around you tonight when you go home. Even in here, if the Lord were to open our eyes and see what fierce thing it is, how many angels, chariots of fires are around you tonight, that would encourage you. That's why I would not sit back and just let the devil do this, because every time I make a decision, I'm affecting what is happening in the spiritual realm. So if I know that I must gather with the saints in church, but then I decide that tonight I'm not going, can you imagine what that does? Can you just imagine the devil sidetracking people just a little bit like that, you know? But we must wait on the Lord, the Bible says, that they that wait on the Lord shall renew strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint, run and not be weary. That's a kind of a state that I want to be. I don't want to be a kind of a person that just sits back. No, I want to be active. I want to be proactive against the devil, because he is also active against me. But I must wait on the Lord. And once the Lord shows me I must do this, then I have to move. I won't wait. I've got to move in, just like David, when he was told, when you see the moving in the mulberry trees, he didn't wait any longer than necessary. He went on the offensive. And I believe that it's a good season now to go on the offensive against the enemy, because definitely there's something happening in the spiritual realm. We cannot see it. Sometimes we feel things like that and a strain here and there, but there's definitely something moving in the spiritual realm. And it is time that we have the devil on the defensive, and we go on the offensive. So the one thing I wanted to speak about tonight is what we read in the verse. I think it's in the book of John, 1 John. If our hearts condemn us not, again in another verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible says that the devil believes and he trembles. He also knows this Bible that we are reading, the Word of God. Remember him speaking verses to Christ? He knows them, and he believes them, and he trembles because he knows how true it is. And he knows if God was to speak one word, he could speak the devil out of existence. That's why he trembles. But he knows these verses, and he knows if there is no condemnation in your heart, you will have confidence with God when you come to him. But as long as you have condemnation, I didn't have the slides ready, courts and so forth, but the prophet speaks about when we have condemnation in our hearts, when he's speaking about this verse here. No, actually the other one, in 1 John 3, he says that if we have condemnation in our hearts, we have no confidence with God. And when we have no confidence with God, we can't have faith in God. Yeah? So the devil also knows that. And I want to speak a little bit about it before we go home tonight. I don't know how, but I'm trusting in the Lord that he will help me to speak about it properly. So he uses that as one of his tools in his arsenal against the believer. A person can be born, grow up, and perhaps they meet up with this and do evil things and so forth. Then one time the Lord meets with them, and then they believe and repent. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized, and you shall be saved. So that there should be enough for a believer to stand on, to say, I have repented and I'm moving on with the Lord. But sometimes when that happens, because we still remember the things that happened in our lives before, because we still have the same facilities, we still have the same body that we sinned in, even though we are now a new creation in the other realm, in the spiritual realm, but in this body we are still the same. And we still have access to the memory of the things that we did which we know were wrong. And many times the devil brings up things like that. Even after you have believed, yeah? And you are walking with the Lord and sometimes you get sidetracked and you get involved in some things that maybe you are not very proud of saying things like that, or things that are not becoming of a believer to get involved in. Yeah? And then you try to make your life right, you repent, but sometimes the devil can bring those things up against you if you are lacking in knowledge. Because it says what does it say, brother? People perish because of lack of knowledge. So sometimes you might not know, and you are struggling under condemnation of something that you did and repented for and you are forgiven for, and the devil brings that up every time you try to do something for the Lord. Every time you try to pray, it comes and eats at your faith and hinder your faith. And as long as he can keep you in that state, you can wear all the long dresses you want, you can wear all the flat shoes, keep your long hair, brothers can maybe never smoke and things like that there, but as long as he does that to you and condemnation keeps coming up in your heart like that, referring you to things from your past, that's a very effective tool that the enemy uses against the believer. And I had quite an experience of that myself. I also was a young child. There was a time when I was 6 years old too. Do you believe that? I also was 6 years, and I did some things that I'm not proud of at all when I was 6 years old. And I grew up with such condemnation in my heart because of that. It was such a weight on me, and I couldn't even speak to anybody until it became a complex. That was the big blow that the enemy had on me from that time. And I struggled so much under the weight of that thing. By the time I was 8, I had given my life to the Lord. I was trying to walk with the Lord. But every time I tried to do something, that thing would come up. And it would just like pouring water on me. Everything that I read could not help me overcome that complex. There was a time when I would read the message and I would see where the prophet would say, age of accountability. And I would say, what is that? Well, if a child dies before the age of accountability, it goes straight to heaven. Oh, so the things that I did when I was 6 years old, I wasn't accountable for them because I could not choose between wrong and right. But I'm telling you, that is true, Brother James, yeah? But it wasn't enough for me to overcome the complex that had built up in me, that the enemy would remind me every time of that thing. And it was such a weight, brother. And I grew up with that, and I grew up, I read the scriptures, everything moved on in that way, but it was never enough because I think to me it was knowledge. I had never come to a place where I realized that this is actually true. I knew it was true, but it wasn't in the realm of where it had become something that was like a revelation to me. And I struggled with that. I came to a place where I even got baptized. I served the Lord with all my strength I did. And still I could not overcome that blot. But I thank God, because looking back now, I can see that God was teaching me to war against the enemy. Maybe perhaps because there could be somebody who would want something to hear something like that, to help them maybe with a complex that they have, Because the devil is a master at building complexes in the lives of people. And it came to a place where I couldn't even do anything. Every single day I would remember that thing. I remember if it was lunchtime, I'm going to pray. God, won't you have mercy on me? And I read the story of the prophet where he was having trouble with the tax case, I think. And the lawyers were coming to him and troubling him and so forth and so forth. And one day, the phone rang when he just got home. And he told his wife to say, tell them I'm not here. And he went out and he came back. And the wife said, was that right what you did? Himself, he says, I knew it wasn't right what I had done. But I just wanted to make my wife think it was right. And he said, it was okay, I wasn't in here. And she said, but you weren't really in here. So it can happen like that where you brave things and just say, everything is all right, you know. And you can fool people around you that everything is all right. But the Bible says God is higher than our hearts. He knows exactly what's in our heart. And if we have condemnation, we cannot have confidence with God. That was the state that I was in. And the prophet, I remember he was going to pray for somebody and a little child. And that thing came up. Say, you think you go and lay your hands on that child when you were just lying over there? That's exactly how the devil attacks you. And sometimes he has a right to. Because the prophet had actually done something. He had lied. Yeah? And the devil had a right to say that. And the prophet said he went to the man and apologized and said, please, give me some time. I need to make something right before I pray for your child. And he went to the lawyer and apologized. This is what I had done. I'm sorry, forgive me. From there, he went to the cave. He was praying and he was praying until he felt that he was forgiven. But for a double measure, because the devil was going to use that as a tool against him. He went and stood on the rock and he was praising the Lord and he said, Father, if you have forgiven me, just pass by like you did when Moses asked. And it happened like that. And he knew beyond just knowledge that he was forgiven. You know, he knew, and the devil could never use that against him. Because if he would come and say, you lied that time, he would just point him back to say, but the Lord forgave me about it. And that would shut the devil up. But I didn't have any of that experience. Because all I had was scriptures that people had tried to help me with. I had spoken to them and they would tell me, but brother, the Bible says here, if you confess your sins, you are forgiven and this and that and that. But it was all knowledge. It wasn't, sometimes I would feel good and say, yes, thank you, brother, amen, and would pray and now go home rejoicing, but it would last maybe for 2 days. Then I'm back under that condemnation again. But it was really God's grace to me. It was really his grace because it came to a point where I was trying to help somebody who had their own complexes in life. And I was trying to help them, and I began to tell them about Paul, the apostle, in the Bible. Because Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. And Saul had done some terrible things. He had consented to the death of Stephen. He had been getting letters to go and persecute the church. He was persecuting the church, taking those people, putting them into jails, mothers, children, old people. That's a terrible thing to do. And he thought he was doing it to save the Lord, up to a place where he had to consent for somebody to be killed. That's how bad things had gone in the life of Saul. But one day he met with the Lord. Imagine. But even though he was converted to be Paul, he still had the memory of the things that he had consented to. He still had them. You can see in his writing in the Bible, when he is about to be killed himself, you know, how he approached that whole situation. You can see the prophet said, the death of Stephen must have gotten next to him. You know, it never left him. It affected him for the rest of his life because here he was consenting to the killing of a righteous man. That can build such a big complex. And I was explaining that like that there. And I was asking to say, did you kill somebody like Paul did? And the person would say, no, I didn't. But, you know, and I was trying to say, but I said, look, doesn't Paul speak in Philippians chapter 3, you know, verse 33? I don't know if you have it there. I think you do. Philippians, you know. I'd like to read that because it's a real wonderful scripture. And I was telling this to this person. Say, look, after all that Paul had done against the church of God, he comes to a place. Sorry, did I say Philippians 3? Oh, how it happens. I can't find that scripture. Oh, it's verse 13, not 33, sorry. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. My, those verses were like jumping out of the book to me. Say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark. When I read that, I was trying to help somebody. But I read it, it was as if it was not me reading it. It was as if someone else was reading it to me. And I could see those letters coming out of the Bible, jumping at me like that. And I knew from that time that I have been liberated from my complex. That's how God taught me to war against the devil. He taught my arms to war against him, because every time the enemy had tried to come up with these things, I would say, forgetting the things that are past. And that it had such a powerful effect. It was a revelation to me, yeah, to stand on this word of God. It wasn't just knowledge anymore. This verse moved from a realm of knowledge to a realm of revelation. And I could stand on that, just like that boy, the servant of Elisha, when his eyes were opened. And for the first time, he saw things for what they really are. That actually there is more with us. And they went and smote all that army blind. The very army that was making him tremble, now he was on the offensive. Because there was something happened, he moved from a realm of knowing things to a realm of revelation. And the word of God is very powerful. It's very powerful. Because if you stand on the word of God, the devil cannot, he cannot move you from the word of God. Just to show you one example of how powerful the word of God is. There's a man in the Bible that we spoke about, Samson. We all know the story of Samson. But if Samson had read some scriptures in the Bible, I think it's in Philippians somewhere, Proverbs chapter 4 or something like that. I think that's on my other notes that I lost. Proverbs chapter 4 speaks about this, and I would like to read it to you just before we close. Or is it 7? Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, maybe I'll read. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in a house. Now is she without, now in the street, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows, and so forth. I think the verse, verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. That's Delilah. If Samson had this verse before he met Delilah, and he had stood on this verse, we will be reading the story of Samson differently today. But maybe we could say he has an excuse because he didn't have this verse. But we have this verse today. Yeah? With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the fluttering of her lips, she forced him. He goes after her straight away as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasted to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Samson, he didn't know this scripture. But if he knew this scripture and had stood on this scripture, all the schemes of Delilah would not have worked against Samson. That's how powerful the word of God is. So when the word of God say, if Samson maybe knew this scripture and had then met Delilah, maybe he would have said, the pastor is just trying to be hard. Why can't I meet this girl? Why does he have to read this scripture to me? And then he would go and meet Delilah, and look what happened to Samson. That's the same thing today with us when we read the scripture. And the scripture tells us, and we can think it's a grievous commandment. Why do we have to go to church on a Wednesday, and then Friday, sometimes twice on a Sunday? And the Bible says, gather even more often as you see the day approaching. Even more often, Brother James, more than what we are doing. And we refuse to stand on that scripture. It won't be for our own good, just like Samson. But if we stand on every scripture, like when it became a revelation to me, and I stood on this scripture, because if I had not stood on this scripture, I don't think so that I would be standing here today. I don't think so. The devil would have achieved his purposes with me, to destroy me, just as much as he destroyed Samson, just as much as he wants to destroy you and me. But I stood on the scripture, and if Samson had stood on this scripture, and if you stand on the word of God tonight, then you are learning to war against the devil. May God bless you. Brother, let us sing a song before we go home. Amen.
Maybe we shall sing just it's a very short chorus. The word of God being preached.
And I shall sing it, and then you can follow suit. It's just maybe three sentences. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as he said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done, even as he said. Trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. Just one more time again. I believe God, I believe God, it shall be done, even as he said, trust and obey, look up and say, I believe God. Now that we have the words, we'll sing it just one more time.
I believe God, I believe God, ask what you will, and it shall be done. Trust and obey. Believe him and say, I believe God.
Amen. Thank you, saints.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we come before you tonight to thank you, Father. You are wonderful to us, Lord. Father, you are everything that we ever desire. For you have given us your word, and Lord, your word is a shield unto us, Lord, against the darts of the enemy. Your word is a sword unto us, Lord, Father, oh God, to fight, Lord, against the enemy. And we thank you, Father, that through these scriptures, you have taught us, Father, to war against the enemy. For, Lord, there are times when it is necessary. There are times, Lord, when we are put in a corner by the enemy and it is either war or we are doomed. Father, help us, Lord, to realize when those times come to shake ourselves and be sober, to shake ourselves and be vigilant, Lord, even as the word calls upon us to be sober and vigilant. For our enemy, the adversary, Lord, he's not having a picnic. He's not playing chess games with us, Lord, but he's out there to do harm, to destroy, to kill. He's a thief who comes only to take away, to destroy, Lord, and to kill. So help us, Father, that we may realize tonight, Father, that, Lord, when we are called to be Christians, when we are called to be believers, it is a real warfare against that old adversary. For he has his guns trained against us. But Father, we are glad that you have given us your word. It is our shield. It is our tower of strength. Help us, Father, that, Lord, we may stay under the word, that we may stay under it, Lord, and that it will protect us, Father. For we have seen what happens to those that go out from under the word. Father, we have seen the tactics that the enemy tries to use to lure us from under the word. But we thank you, Father, that you reveal all his tactics, Lord. So help us as we go home. Father, may this, Lord, word that was spoken help someone break the power of the enemy over their lives, Lord. For you want them to be free. You want them to have peace. You want them, Lord, to overcome. You want them, Lord, to be joyful, to fulfill their joys, Lord. Yet the enemy has had them under siege for many, many months and years, Lord. I pray that you set them free. Bless your people tonight, Lord. Even as we pray for those that are not here, our sister Tariro, Lord, bless her and comfort her at this hour. Lord, may you watch over Brother Maxwell and strengthen him, Lord, that he may have strength to come again unto thine house. Father, may you watch over our pastor. Lord, oh God, at work, Lord. Father, I pray you strengthen him and help him. Amen. Even all those that could not come because of this and other reason, Father, I commit them to you, Lord. Bless our brother James, Lord, and continue to use him, Lord, and strengthen him and help him in this ministry of music. We commit all things to you now, even as we go home. Father, may you watch over us, Lord. May you bring us back again on Friday with our hearts full of joy. Father, oh God, we thank you. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. We see you on Friday, just as we sing one more. And dismiss.
Now maybe we can sing this song and take the words with us together with the message that was preached. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Amen.
As a shield from every snake.
Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snake.
Child of sorrow.
Yeah. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it wherever you go, precious name, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. And if temptations round you gather, you breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven. Precious name, Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.